climate change or democracy, and at the same time not offering any of those rights to its own citizens. So what we're hoping, in a way, what people are hoping is to make use of that momentum. If that momentum is going to mean that there will be more press and hopefully people from Democracy Now as well covering the events at the conference, that it will also help shed light on the democratic or lack of democracy in the country.
We just have 30 seconds. How was what happened in Morocco different from Egypt and Tunisia?
I think it's different in the sense that the experience of Tunisia and Egypt is behind us. So activists have now come to learn the ways the state is manipulating the protests and how infiltrators have already been sent into the different protests across the country. And we have learned from that, and we're trying to prevent them to do the same as they did in 2011.
Mm. Well, I want to thank you very much. You. Miriam Arakh, anthropologist, democracy activist, currently based in Britain, lecturer at the University of Westminster in London, currently writing a book about the February 20th movement in Morocco, where we are headed the week after Election Day. We'll be there for the week covering the UN Climate Summit. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Berkner, Marin Shea, Carla Wills, Laura Gottes, Dean of DeCastro, Sam Alkoff. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, car of teenagers. If you don't mind, I'm only going to broadcast this out of the speaker on the passenger side so we can talk in private. Okay, now that we're alone, what's with your friend's driving? Is he always this reckless? You should say something, something witty. Make a joke about the airbag or something. Hearses are funny, too. You could make a joke about hearses. Driver, just so you know, we're totally not talking about you. He suspects nothing.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and SpeakUpOrElse.com.
I'm Alec Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Angry at the high cost of tuition and decreases in money for quality education? So are many students and parents, but there is something we can do. Register, vote, and volunteer to register others for the upcoming election. We can make a difference. For more information, call NYPIRG's Youth Vote Campaign at 632-6457. That's 632-6457 and online at NYPIRG.org. That's NYPIRG.org.
And this is radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. It's 6 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Wall. Thank you. All right, let's do this. What, you open up a soda there or something? What do you got?
Yeah, it's water with gas. Mit gas.
With gas, okay.
Yeah.
Didn't know you had that. I don't have anything over here. This is off the wall manual on this side of the room.
You know, even let me say hello. You're just going to talk about my
well, I just gave you
refreshments.
I gave you the ability to introduce yourself.
Yeah, you think you're so professional, huh?
I try. I do.
I'm Kyle.
Thank you. Kyle over there on the far side of the room.
I won't interrupt anymore. Go on. I'm listening.
No, it's okay. It's fine. As we get used to interrupting, because it's going to be nothing but interrupting for the next however many days until all this insanity is over. You know, in 1 week, maybe. No, it's not going to end. It's not going to end in 1 week, is it?
Well, it depends on what is.
What is? Okay, well, we've been talking about this.
Or which it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not the only one that's burying their head in their hands right now. And wishing that we could have been doing anything else for the past however many months. It was over a year, right? When did we have the Trump machine in here? That was over a year ago, wasn't it?
Oh, golly. Maybe almost a year. 8 months, at least.
No, I think it was more than that.
Yeah. 9 months, the human gestation period.
Well,
And we're going to give birth to this glorious future.
Well, as you can tell by my voice, I don't know what's going to happen next. But we are 1 week away from D-Day, whatever that might be. And that's when, supposedly, we'll finally make the decision as to who the leader of this country will be starting next year for the next 4 years. And while I want to say that it's a slam dunk and it's obvious that the lunatic is not going to get control of the asylum, I can't say that. I can't say that it's a definite thing because there's two factors here. First of all, we got a lot of dumbasses in this country. I'm sorry for making it so blunt, but it's true. I mean, people just really, really don't look at the facts and don't weigh things in a rational way, a rational manner.
And they think they're informed, but they're not.
And, you know, that sounds horrible to say. Sounds like, you know, we know better and we're all paternal and that, but it doesn't take much to examine facts and to realize that this guy is dangerous, and while the other person might not be the most trustworthy person in the world, she knows what she's doing, at least. Which, you know, some people rub the wrong way. But, you know, you really do kind of want somebody who knows what they're doing, even if you disagree with them in that position. Because if you have somebody that doesn't know what in God's name they're doing, wow, it turns it into something truly frightening for the entire world. And the other factor, apart from people being dumbasses, is the fact that all kinds of surprising things keep coming to light. Just when we thought, okay, this is over. It's over because of all the sexual harassment and the stupid statements and the overall untrustworthiness of Donald Trump. You like how it took us this long to even say the name? You think that's it, and then all of a sudden something else comes along to put him back in the running. And I'm referring to the FBI director deciding to tell everybody that they're looking into Hillary Clinton's emails yet again because they were found on, of all people, Anthony Weiner's computer that his kid used to look at cartoons or something. Who knows? And in so doing, making it appear that there is a huge scandal going on. In actuality, though, and you can see this by looking at the news stories and reading maybe 18 paragraphs in, doesn't seem like any of those emails are anything new. They're just basically copies of things that have been seen before. They're just part of another investigation now because somebody else is being investigated, and she might have gotten copies of the emails that Hillary Clinton sent or was receiving, or that she wanted to send to a printer or something ridiculous like that. But that's enough. That's enough to make it seem as if there's some huge scandal. And of course, it's not going to be resolved until after Election Day. And that could be too late to actually get the facts. So now Donald Trump is basking in this, saying, oh, I told you so. Look how corrupt and crooked Hillary is. And it's just really frustrating when you just want to be talking about the issues. You just want to be talking about, okay, so what is our policy going to be? What are we going to be doing as a country over the next 8 years? And instead you have this childish finger pointing and tantrum throwing. And you realize that this guy might actually pull it off.
No, I don't realize that.
You don't realize? Well, I envy you for not realizing that.
No. It is a job. This isn't a beauty contest or a game show of any type. But you were never going to get a discussion of the issues. Let's be clear about that. That was not going to be a part of this.
Not with him as one of the candidates, for sure. But I've seen, you know, policies discussed before in debates and campaigns. I know it's possible. You know,
I'm sorry, I can't keep a straight face. Historically, you mean, like in books?
When Obama ran against McCain, there were policies discussed. Yes, absolutely. They talked about things. It wasn't like this. It was not like this. Obama against Romney was not like this. You know, Reagan against Mondale was. I cannot think of any campaign that was this childish. You know, I'm even going back to elementary school class president, and I can't think of any campaign that was this childish.
Well, forget all that, too. I mean, if you really want to know what the policies are, there's not a lot of information from the GOP.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what will those actually be like? There's hyperbole and broad statements and rhetoric about it, and a couple things maybe that they'd latch onto that may have been successful talking points in the past, but the real details and a lot of the actual work that needs to be done and cooperation is pretty sparse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really been filled in by all of the sort of childish name calling and just.
It's, you know, to me, what's frustrating is the unbridled hatred of Hillary Clinton that we see from the right, primarily from the right, but a good amount from the left. I'll get into that. But the right wing really hates her. And you have to sort of ask yourself, why is that? What is it about Hillary Clinton they detest so much? And I think there are a number of reasons. First of all, her ties to Bill Clinton, being his wife. Her being left of center, her trying to bring universal health care back when she was first lady, her being a woman, which is a threat to the status quo, and that's no small thing. Think about it. What else could factor into such hatred, true hatred, like I've never seen before? It's not like she led a raid into you know, some right wing clubhouse or something, or tried to shut down the Republican Party or do anything that really was a major threat to their way of life. Yet you see this fear, this paranoia, she's the devil. She's somebody that if you put her in power, it's going to be the end of Western civilization. You know, we've had differences of opinion before. We've had different candidates, but I've never seen this kind of reaction. And you just have to wonder, where is that coming from? And then, yes, you do see it on the left as well, because of Hillary Clinton's policies as Secretary of State and various comments that she's made. But, you know, completely different reasons, but the same kind of reaction. But I think, you know, the people on the left at least have the potential to realize that she knows what she's doing, and she would be far better in that office than somebody who did not know what he was doing and somebody who has said so many of the hateful, ignorant things that Donald Trump has said. Unfortunately, I'm not seeing enough of that from the left. It's like they're choosing to ignore that in their passion to condemn Hillary Clinton for the things that she has done.
Right, and that this isn't even a potential opportunity for her to be in a position where she can actually affect change the way she'd like to. And in all the years of her experience, it's many times have been a compromise from her aspirations, and this is a great opportunity to see what is possible from someone with such experience.
Yeah, the thing also to remember with a president is that it's not just it's not like a king. It's not like one person gets to decide everything. This person brings in scores of other people, other policies. Now think of the kinds of people, we've said this before, the kinds of people that Hillary Clinton would bring into her administration. And a good way to recognize that is to look at the conventions, look at the Democratic convention, look at the people who spoke on the floor, look at people who are basically dealing with physical handicaps, challenges in upbringing, alternative lifestyles.
Disaffected communities that have their representatives there talking about areas like Flint and on, and bringing up local stuff at that point for a national platform, just so that as a party we can see where things need help, where we need to affect change.
Those people are going to feel more empowered, not just because they spoke at the convention, but because they're probably going to be a part of a new administration. Then you look at the Republican convention, see who spoke there, and it's a bunch of big white guys, you know, bullies, I think. I really see them that way. And, you know, you don't have to really take my word for it. Just go back and look at the kinds of people that spoke there. And you will see that it's basically a lot of rabble-rousing and calling on 9/11 and anti-Muslim and anti-Mexican and a lot of hatred, a lot of fear. Those are the kind of people that will be brought in a Trump administration. So it doesn't matter how much you dislike Hillary Clinton. Think about what she is going to bring in to the administration and how our country is going to be steered over the next 4 years. That is what we should all be thinking about when we go into the voting booth.
And all of that disaffected ire, all of that that nationalism and righteousness doesn't mean a darn thing about the day-to-day functions and the actual skill we need at the helm.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and a good example of what we're talking about here, look at the vice presidential candidates, okay, because that's the first person that they're bringing into their administration. Okay, you look at Pence, and you look at, I forgot his name, Hillary Clinton's
vice. Kane.
Kane, I'm sorry. Okay, he's not very memorable. But you look at the two of them, all right? And Pence is somebody who is fervently anti-gay, for one thing. Believes in the, what are they called, in the gay camps?
Re-education, whatever, straightening.
Yeah, they can basically put somebody into shock treatment and get the gay out of it. You know, things like this. And you find similar types of ignorance with regards to abortion, women's rights, minorities. You name it, all the way down. All these really, really disturbing things. And that's just from that one person. So imagine all the policy changes, and if not policy changes, just the fights that we will have to endure for the next 4, maybe 8 years, and all the progress that will go backwards. That's what we should be thinking about, not a joke that Hillary Clinton made or an email that we're privy to now where she says something disrespectful about Bernie Sanders. Hell, Bernie Sanders doesn't care. He knows that that's not important at this stage. You know, do you trust Bernie Sanders? Do you trust Elizabeth Warren? Do you trust people that actually know what's involved in the day-to-day runnings of government? I would listen to those people.
President Obama.
Yeah, you know, he knows a thing or
wife,
two.
Wife, the First Lady.
Mm-hmm.
And on and on and on.
I'm just worried about all the people that say, yeah, I don't like them, either one of them, I'm not going to vote. Because enough people do that, then take a look at go to C-SPAN. Guarantee at some point today C-SPAN is going to show a Trump rally. Look at those people. Those people will show up. They will vote. And they'll get their friends to vote as well. And apparently they're already voting more than once. Isn't that something? They're all worried and panicky about the election being rigged and people, the minorities with voter fraud. And it turns out that the only instance of voter fraud is coming from the Trump camp right now.
Yeah, that sort of that privileged like overly intellectual, I guess, I don't know what the word is. It's escaping me. But that perspective is, I mean, I can respect it to a point. I get the whole idea of this binary being a terrible choice, but that's the choice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's great. Even third parties, you know, it's great how much they've been a part of this conversation and this election, but this is the system that we're working in.
You want a third party candidate? I do too. I really do.
But you know what?
But you want to get there. You want to get there. You have to get there in you can't just jump there. You have to get there by steps. And the steps that will get us there is having somebody that that is more progressive rather than going back in time. So, yeah, I think, you know, in another 4 years, 8 years, maybe the third party, especially with the destruction of the Republican Party, which I think might happen, we might actually get to that stage. It's not going to happen this year. We have to tell ourselves that. It's unfortunate, but there's just no way. You vote for a third party candidate, they're not going to win. They're not going to win. And if you do that in a state where the electoral votes are close enough that your vote could actually count for or against Donald Trump, you might be throwing your vote away by doing that.
You know, if you want your third party candidates, just, you know, have all the other things you're voting on, consider what options are there, but keep it out of the presidential race. There's plenty of other bubbles on your ballot or other positions you can vote for where you could put in someone who is not necessarily one or the other, or perhaps is independent. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But presidential race, it's not really going to be heard.
Not at this stage. I mean, we have time to build these things up, but we have to put in the time in the non-presidential election years and build these parties up so that they're strong, so that they actually have something of value to contribute. And this year, think about it. We had Bernie Sanders, a renowned socialist, as a front runner for the presidency. That's got to count for something. That's moving the dialogue in a direction. Let's not discount that, and let's build upon that for next time.
Certainly. Yeah. There's been tremendous strides made. It's not that you won't be heard, but it's that it's lost on the binary that we're faced with.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is going to affect all people, good in good ways and bad ways, and maybe you can share those with us by calling in tonight.
Yes, absolutely. What's also important, though, is considering Senate races and other elections as well, it's important that Congress start changing, not just the presidency, because so much has been tied up in this blockade, you know, this kind of obstruction of governmental business. We've seen vows to continue doing this. I believe Ted Cruz even said that they're going to block every possible Supreme Court nominee that Hillary Clinton puts forth if she gets elected. You know, I think you should be thrown out of office just for promising that, because you're basically saying, yeah, we're not going to do our job because we don't like the person that won. And that has been so detrimental. And that's the reason why just about everything that people are complaining about is happening. You know, we talk about Obamacare and how, oh, my God, the rates are going up. Yeah, the rates are going up. But is it because of Obama that the rates are going up? No one is saying this. No one is focusing on the fact that the insurance companies, they're the ones raising the rates. They're raising the rates. Why? Because their costs are up. Why are their costs up? Because they have skyrocketing expenses that are completely unregulated. And basically what we are doing now by talking about this is we're having the dialogue. We're having the dialogue about people having health care and the costs going up. Before, we weren't able to have that dialogue because people just didn't have the health care. They weren't able to have the health care. Now that people can have health care, we're able to confront the issue. Hey, the insurance companies keep raising the rates. Why are they doing that? Why are these rates so high, so expensive? This is not fair. That's the part that's not fair. The fact that they can just charge whatever they want. The medical industry can just charge whatever it wants. Are we saying that is simply not viable to give people insurance? Is that basically what we are concluding? Other countries, yeah, they can do it. Canada can do it. England, they can do it. Not a problem. But when we try to do it, no, it doesn't work. Doesn't work. Doesn't work for America. That's the problem. No one's focusing on that. Also, the fact that, you know, in many places, rates are not going up. And if you get what do they call those things in Obamacare? Where you get stipends or what's there's a word for it. Word escapes me. You know, where you get money back or
it's a not a rebate, but it's a
there's a word for
subsidy.
That. Subsidy. That's the word. Yes. Subsidies are increasing by threefold in many places. That means you're getting three times as much of a subsidy back, which means not only are your rates not going up, they're going down in some places. The people who are paying more are people who pay insurance directly. In other words, people who don't qualify for subsidies because they make too much money. Wow, imagine that. So, okay, some people are paying more, some people are not paying more. The people who can't afford it are not being hit with this nearly as much. To me, that's a step in the right direction. I'm not saying the rates should be anywhere near as high as they are. I'm not saying they should be going up. But if poor people are not being shut out, that is a plus. And that's something we need to acknowledge. And the fact that we can even have this conversation now is a sign of progress. We need to make it better. Yeah, the system is broken, but we're taking steps. That needs to be focused on.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one positive thing I could say personally. Like, it may not work great for me right now. But that it gives other people opportunity, or dare I say, people and loved ones in my life who may be affected by a pre-existing condition, chronic illness, whatever it may be, I'm satisfied just that they're okay. And mm-hmm. I, as a healthy young person, more or less, will be okay and will live to perhaps affect this system. But if it's a system based on partisan obstinance that has rendered our republic dysfunctional and only to protect the interests of corporate profits, mm-hmm. Because healthy people aren't good for pharmaceutical companies or private medical campuses, then we have a problem.
Yeah.
And as a citizen and an individual and an owner of this system, I beg to differ, and I'd like to see something else.
I think, you know, there's all kinds of ways we can change things. We can make it so that this is part of our tax system. It comes directly out of our taxes. In other words, we don't have an insurance company that we pay every month. We simply pay a certain amount in taxes. That way you can't get out of it. You can't say, oh, I'm just going to pay the penalty. I'm not going to get insurance at all. The problem is too many healthy people aren't getting insurance, and they wind up paying the penalty, which is much less than the cost of insurance. So we get around that, and then lots more people have insurance and costs are covered in that way, but it keeps getting blocked by the Republicans. That's why you're having this crazy system that doesn't seem to work, because the Republicans are thwarting it at every step, and that's what has to change.
Yeah. I mean, as an example, like, I'll say the first year of ACH for affordable care implementation, mm-hmm. really didn't see much of a difference, maybe a little bit of a rate change, but again, deductibles and stuff were sort of still unfair or worse, maybe slightly better. But I knew it was affecting and helping other people. And now, after a second year of that, I actually tried two different insurers, two or three.
That's the thing. You can just try a different insurance company
that
every
year. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, being able to do that. But I actually hurt myself out of country and then needed treatment out of state. And I realized this is broken, that mm-hmm. What I have wouldn't have served me if I was in my state, certainly would have helped me out of state, and out of country is a complete joke. So, I will admit, I'm not participating. I did not participate in the last enrollment period, and have basically had my own, let's say, health savings account. And I've been collecting nuts in the forest.
Right, and it should have been a lot more seamless. You should have insurance that works in all 50 states. You know, I'm trying to figure this out right now. Multi-state insurance. Supposedly it exists. Supposedly it's mandatory for 2017. It's not listed anywhere, and it's really, today's November 1st. You're supposed to be able to go on the health exchange and find all of this, but the companies are not making it easy. And just to illustrate what you're talking about that happened to you in Canada when you broke your hand, you paid less in Canada for all the treatment that you got, having no insurance there with cash, than you paid in insurance premiums here in this country that didn't cover one penny of it. Think about that. You know, you're paying insurance that doesn't even cover you because you didn't break your hand within a certain square block radius of where you have insurance in Washington State. And meanwhile, you can go to a foreign country, not have insurance at all, because apparently it doesn't count in other countries, and pay cash and still pay less. That is a messed up system.
Yeah, and I did look previously, and you were just telling me, just as you described, what it's like going forward now, mm-hmm. With especially things like multi-state that are supposed to be implemented, but the last enrollment period, it didn't look good. I mean, there was really no options. It's basically the same and lousy coverage.
But that's not because
like
of Obamacare. Obamacare is basically making all of this inequity obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the insurance companies that are setting the policy. Well, now, Aetna dropped out of the exchange. That's not Obamacare saying, Aetna, stop offering insurance. That's Aetna saying, yeah, you know what? We're not going to do it anymore. You know, focus your ire on them. They're the ones that are saying, we're not going to play anymore. They should be forced to. If they want to offer insurance in this country, they have to offer insurance to everybody in this country at affordable rates. Otherwise, somebody else will come along and do it.
Yeah, and my point is, I'm not even mad, given all of that. I'm not mad. I'm looking for better options.
Mm-hmm.
I'm encouraged and would like to modify what we have and hold some of these corporations to account. And I very passionately believe this is an issue of national security, because if we are unhealthy as a nation, we are not going to be able to grow.
I found what I consider to be a decent insurance company this this year. I'm not going to name them because I don't want to advertise, but they're different. They're not an insurance company I used before, and they're kind of modern as far as having apps and kind of googly type things. You could probably figure out who they are by those hints alone. But I used them a couple of times. You know, I had an issue. I went to urgent care once, which, by the way, if you're ever feeling bad and you need care that day, you can't get an appointment with your doctor, don't go to the ER. Go to urgent care. They're all over the place now. And that's a really positive development in healthcare, because they're so much cheaper. You get the same amount of care, a lot less time spent waiting. It's really something that I think is worth doing. I went there, got all kinds of treatment and prescriptions and things like that, knowing full well that I was not even approaching the deductible on my insurance policy, which I think is something like $5,000, ridiculous. But, and this is something that's part of the insurance industry I can never understand, even if it does not cover anything, you have not hit your $5,000 deductible, let's say you get a $250 doctor bill, it gets submitted through your insurance, and all of a sudden that $250 doctor bill turns into $75 because they negotiated a better price. It's not covered by your insurance, but instead of owing $250, you owe $75 just because you had insurance in the first place. To me, that sounds like insurance is covering it somehow, even though it's not. But you're actually being billed what it really cost instead of what they would like it to cost. That's part of the sickness of the insurance industry, that they can just basically, or the medical industry, really, they can charge these ridiculously fantasy-type numbers and get away with it, especially the people that don't have insurance. And if you do have insurance, even if it doesn't cover it, you pay a more reasonable rate.
Yeah, it's like they're getting wholesale, and then we get the retail costs, like mm-hmm. you would with commodities and so on.
And that would not have happened before Obamacare, in my world anyway. So I'm happy about that. Yeah, I'd like it to be better, but it is an improvement. There is no question it's an improvement.
Yeah, yeah. But there's many... Many more desirable things to modify and to implement, but mm-hmm. we have a long way to go, and this is just one topic.
And yeah, and this is one topic we focused on that people are all up in arms about as proof that Obamacare is a disaster, or that the Democrats are a disaster. It's not necessarily the way it's portrayed.
Yeah, smoking gun, it is not.
So now on the subject of Trump supporters. This is something that we've noticed. They're starting to come out of the woodwork. Have you noticed that maybe your neighbor suddenly put up a Trump sign? It's like they saved it for the end, and they're kind of coming out and revealing themselves as, yeah, we're the aliens that you were afraid of. We've been here all along. It's like one of those horrible science fiction shows. And we've been seeing them popping up in various places, various disturbing places.
Yeah, I would say it's an emboldening, or maybe you'd refer to it as Trump pride.
Trump pride.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're proud.
That is something to really consider. Now, okay, you know, people have the right to their opinion, obviously. There's no problem with that. But it's just the way that certain things are expressed in that camp that are particularly disturbing, because there's so much hatred, there is so much fear, there is so much prejudice that is attached to that. And you have to ask yourself, what would it be like if those people were in power? Or what would it be like if those people felt like they should be in power and were robbed? You know, this is why a situation like this, where we have 1 week left, and you see these people starting to emerge, I think this is why you need to start taking notes and being observant as to what's really going on. Now, we noticed a couple of things over the past few days, actually literally a few days. If you go down to Main Street in Port Jefferson, which is the town just to the east of where we are right now.
Where the ferry is.
Where the Port Jefferson ferry comes in from Bridgeport.
It's a nice boat.
You will notice on the corner of Main Street and Broadway, this massive Trump sign that has suddenly appeared on what looks like one of the main buildings in Port Jefferson. It makes it seem like the entire town of Port Jefferson is for Trump. All of a sudden.
It's a banner. It's like a 14-foot banner.
It's a big banner. It's a really big banner. And, you know, we noticed that. And a lot of other people started noticing it, too. We've talked to people. It's like, my God, did you see what just happened? And the impression is that this is just, it's part of the town. Really, really disturbing. Turns out, we did a little bit of research into this, and it actually brings us back to something in the past that happened. There's this guy. This guy, and you might have heard the name George Wallace in the past. George Wallace being the racist from the South who was basically anti-civil rights. And on his deathbed, or towards his deathbed, he started to see the light and realize that he had basically been in the wrong and asked for forgiveness and that kind of thing. A name from the 60s, from the 70s, that has its spot in the civil rights movement. Well, there is a George Wallace here, literally, in Port Jefferson. Spelled differently. Spelled W-A-L-L-I-S. But this guy, turns out he owns a good amount of Port Jefferson. In fact, he owns that corner. He owns a particular spot. And I remember this because I wrote a letter to Newsday about it. It was printed back in, I think, 2002. There was a statue of Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson, one of the founding fathers. You know, whatever you might think of him, but he was, symbolically at least, a pillar of freedom, you know, a symbol of what this country stood for. His statue stood on the corner right there. But then after 9/11, this guy, George Wallace, because he owned the corner, had that statue torn down. Like, you know, like they tear down statues of Stalin in the Soviet Union. He tore down Thomas Jefferson and replaced it with this eagle, this ugly eagle, too. In fact, the mayor of Port Jefferson said this: nobody likes this monument. The eagle doesn't look like an eagle from a distance yet. You'd have to be up real close to know the intent of this monument. Driving by it doesn't make the impact of the figure of Thomas Jefferson, which was appropriate for the image of the village named Port Jefferson. Well, didn't matter. The guy got his way, owned the corner, kept the damn eagle, got rid of Thomas Jefferson. It was a blight. It was an embarrassing moment. This is the same guy, still owns that corner, who is now basically forcing his opinion on the entire town, putting up a huge Trump banner over, what was it, the candy store? There's a candy store there.
Yeah, it's right below the very large ice cream cone.
Yes,
that's on the side of the building. And this is the same place. There's also a huge flagpole near that statue.
It's called the Port Jefferson Frigate is the name of the candy store.
Yeah.
But it's also, he also owns the Steam Room, which is a fast food seafood place.
There's a couple businesses in there. It's not just like two or three. I think there's more up near where the banner's being displayed. I think there's a couple other tenants.
Yeah. And according to this article from 2002, he also, I don't know if these places are still in business. He owned the Dockside, which is a steak and seafood restaurant, Fish and Company, I haven't seen that. Somehow he owns the Suffolk County Water Authority building, which is next to the town of Brookhaven Marina. Yeah, he owns a lot. And it's abuse. It's basically abuse of being rich and powerful to shove this down our throats. And I think people are getting a little bit perturbed. We walked by there a couple of times, and there's people pointing at it and theorizing on ways they might be able to have a counter message there. And I've heard some good ideas.
Yeah, definitely. People are at least stopping. Either they've seen it or they've actually seen it and pulled off because they were so mad or whatever to document it and photograph it. I think even local media has become interested. They're at least walking around. I know they've asked about it to different passersby when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
At least they're generally asking about politics with this as a backdrop.
Right, right. Now, they had to hire a security guard, basically, to stand by the staircase that goes up to where the banner was hung to keep people from going up there and defacing it or putting something else up there. Yeah, you can't go there. You can't go to Main Street and Port Jefferson and hang a Clinton sign. You will be arrested if you try or told not to do that or something. But this guy gets to basically scream out Trump to everybody that passes by, everybody who arrives in the ferry, everybody who drives past. And that, to me, it's a form of intimidation.
Yeah, that business is actually one of the only businesses that has, I think, 24-hour armed security. So somebody walking around openly carrying a semi-automatic pistol, you know, and checking to make sure everybody's eating ice cream and stuff.
And not defacing the Trump sign.
So if you have ideas, just be aware that, you know, the hassle may escalate.
So now, how do people who work for the Port Jefferson frigate or the steam room, how do they feel about having this massive Trump banner over their businesses, basically implying that they support Trump as well, and being told that you cannot remove this sign, this is part of who we are? You know, think about that, and then change it. Change that sign. Change the Trump sign to maybe a symbol of some sort, a symbol that might represent our growing nationality and the power of our chosen people in the face of the enemy, you know? Think about that. Think about having armed guards protecting that symbol. You might see what the danger we're facing here is. It's not just a simple, oh, I like Clinton, you like Trump type of a thing. It's intimidation. It's ugly. It needs to be challenged at every step, and I hope people in Port Jefferson will do that one way or another. I'm not talking about damage, vandalism. I'm talking about being clever. I'm talking about challenging. I'm talking about just voicing your opinion and not allowing yourself to be intimidated by powerful people.
Yeah, there are lesser points of contention that are entertained, and I think mm-hmm. there's a certain tact to these types of things, and sentiment is sort of, it's being lorded over a lot of people who are just coming into town to enjoy themselves and maybe get away from politics. So it's up to us, it's up to the citizens to take a stand for these things, to let people know if we share that sentiment or not.
And, you know, this guy is not the only guy doing this. There's all kinds of other powerful people that own buildings sticking huge Trump banners up. But it's interesting that they waited until 1 or 2 weeks were left to just suddenly emerge out of the shadows. It's kind of frightening to realize that they're there. They're watching. They're angry. They're powerful.
They're letting their Trump flags fly.
Yes, they are. We'd like to hear your opinions if there are people out there that have noticed similar things or have questions or concerns with 1 week to go. 631-632-6901 is our telephone number. We see phone calls start coming in. We will move into delay, and you can have your say, whether it's in alignment with what we have to say or not. You know, we're always open to different ideas, and we always hear people say, you're wrong. And that's a healthy thing. That's dialogue. We don't shut people down. We don't say our way is the only way.
People like to shut us down.
They do.
We do get some of those friendly little love notes.
We got one last week.
They do make us laugh.
This person wrote in saying, I can't believe you guys talked about this. I can never get that hour back. Let me tell you something, whoever wrote that letter. How do you think we feel? You know, you can skip ahead in the show. You can turn to another station. We have to sit here for the whole hour. We never get that hour back. So, yeah, just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Ha. Ha. Okay, we're getting phone calls, so I'm going to move into delay. But we need to change this channel from there to there because I need to use that to get to there. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, we forgot about
that. Yeah, so, yeah, that's my fault. I'm sorry. So just go to channel 9 over there. Yeah, where your hand is. Move it to channel 9, right to the left, and yeah, we should be fine. Okay, so now we're going to go into Magical Delay Land, and we will catch you, I guess, on the flip-flop.
Hi, this is Shecky Davis from Shecky and the Twangtons. You're listening to 90.1 WUSB, the most dangerous station in the nation.
And did that work? I think it did. Our phone number is 631-632-6901.
You haven't heard much about flip-flopping.
Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hello. Good evening.
Oh, go ahead.
Hi. I'm Pauline. I actually have a show there, too.
Okay. You have a show here on USB?
Yes.
Awesome.
Right there. Every other Friday, 6 to 8 in the morning. I just want to clarify something. You guys are saying that it is important to have the Green Party, and I know that I'm with the Green Party, so okay. I've been paying attention to this a lot. And I know how important it is, and it's a valid point that we need to build a party on non-election, you know, presidential election years as well. And there are a lot of people who run for office. It's harder because a Green Party doesn't take money from corporations, but it's important to run the presidential elections as well. And the Green Party, if we get 5% of the popular vote on the federal level, mm-hmm. will be on the ballot on most states, automatic ballot status. So that's huge because there's some states that require more than 89,000 signatures.
Right.
Just to appear on a ballot. So that would be a nice and easy way. And that, to just be there with the major parties that don't have to do anything to just be there.
You're saying you get 5% of this this ballot?
And the Green Party, just as of yesterday, I just got to know that the latest official poll, we're at 5%.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
On non-swing states, even, you know, New York's going to go blue no matter what, even though...
Right.
That's a pretty funny story. I haven't been...
But what would you say to somebody in Ohio, though, where it's not necessarily going to go blue?
I would say, like, even in New York, if people want to support the Green Party, it is going to go blue no matter what. It has always gone blue and will go... You know, Long Island is a bit of a strange thing here that, you know, we do have a lot of registered Republicans here, and it's a bit more different and not as progressive as the rest of New York, but...
Kyle, go ahead.
Thanks for clarifying that, because I did correct myself when I said that you won't necessarily be counted. It does count, and if you really feel passionately about contributing to that 5%, it does go a long way for the Green Party, because then they don't have to collect those 89,000 signatures in Ohio or wherever, because they're already 5% nationally. I think that's kind of what you're saying, right?
Right, yeah, and there's another real huge game changer, that's federal matching funds. So it'd be like millions of dollars that the major parties already get. They take money from corporations, so that's, you know, just keeps rising, and the Green Party will have those, and, you know, that money, and because we don't take money from corporations, to be putting those volunteers in those states to collect all those signatures. You can never find, every single one of them.
Just to be clear, though, the 5% figure, is that nationwide or is that state by state?
It's federal.
That's nationwide.
Okay,
but
all right.
Some states, you know, but each state has its own election laws.
So if you're in a state that is definitely going to go blue no matter what, then voting green makes sense because you can help get to that 5%. But if you're in a state like Florida or Ohio that really is it could go either way,
a linchpin,
then you got to ask yourself, where is my vote going to count more? Does that make sense?
That's it. That's okay. There's another thing, you know, by being with the Green Party, some people would hate me to bring that up, but I thought it was really interesting. I don't know if you guys came across, and I was like, my hair just stand up hearing about the write-in Bernie campaign, mm-hmm. because for the longest time I heard that if he's not registered as a write-in, you know, the whole country could vote for him as a write-in, and it's just not going
to
count.
It wouldn't matter. Right, exactly. And Bernie doesn't want you to do that. So if you're thinking of doing that, think of what Bernie would say. And he wouldn't like that at all.
That not necessarily true. I don't know. We don't know what Bernie really wants. We know what Bernie's saying, and we don't know what, you know, exactly what.
Well, let's assume what Bernie is saying is what Bernie means. I hope we can trust him, but
I'd hope so too. Except for he said he was going for a contested convention all the way until that one night. That he woke up in the morning and had some sort of...
He went to the convention, and the convention served its purpose. And I think he brought it as far as he could and maintained his dignity the whole time and really changed the conversation in this country. I think if there's any winner in this entire campaign, it's Bernie Sanders and his supporters.
Absolutely, absolutely. The thing is that the whole write-in Bernie is... I shouldn't even talk too much about this because it doesn't even apply to New York, and it's very complex too.
Yeah.
But it's Operation 270. If none of the two major candidates gains the majority of the electoral college votes, then none of them will be president. And there are seven states where you can write in somebody who has not registered as a write-in. I didn't know that. So they're saying for those seven states, and it's the website is op270.com or .org, I'm not sure, sorry.
All right, we're going to look into that, but that's a topic for next week. Thanks so much for your call. We're going to try and move on to another one.
Sounds good. Have a good night.
Take care. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Go ahead.
Good evening, Off the Wall.
It's Bobson from Bulgaria.
Exactly.
Wow.
Hi, Bobson.
I just wanted to tell you that during the first call tonight, some audio was leaking through the delay into the net stream.
Yeah, it was a chirping or a buzzing or something. I heard it as well.
No, the real-time audio was bypassing the delay, some of it.
Really?
A very little amount, but you could hear voices.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
An audio leak. Do we still have the audio leak?
Pardon?
Is there still an audio leak, or did it get patched?
Well, as long as you were talking to the previous caller, some small portions of audio were leaking into the delay from real-time mics somehow.
All right. Well, every moment this board continues to work is a true miracle, and we don't have to worry about it too much longer because this whole station will be moving soon, and we'll have new equipment. So let's just try and get through this.
It's not our typical configuration either.
So. No. What's on your mind, Bobson? How's the election hitting you over there in Bulgaria?
Well, we have our own presidential election on the Sunday of the 6th of November.
Wait, you have a presidential election 2 days before our presidential election?
Yeah, because we do our elections on a Sunday and not on Tuesdays.
Yeah, you know, that's...
I heard about that.
We were talking about that ourselves earlier. But let me just ask you, when did your presidential election campaign begin?
Sometime this summer. The candidates were announced.
Sometime this summer, really, because ours has been going... when it hasn't been going.
It's been going on for a year and a half or 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Boy. I've noticed that. Anyhow.
Wow. Well, okay, we only have a minute left, but I'd like to get the Bulgarian view on this as far as who is the better candidate in your opinion.
Of the two left over...
Of our campaign, not necessarily the Bulgarian campaign.
Yeah, who are
we
you?
Have no idea who they are.
Who are you for?
You mean the two parties candidates, you mean?
I mean the...
Yeah, those two.
The Clinton and the Trump. You know, which one would you go for?
I don't want to... I refuse. I get...
You have to. You have to.
I don't have to.
Okay, Bobson, let me make it easy.
I have the right not to.
Do you really have that right? Are you sure? Are you sure you have that?
Oh.
Because under Trump, I don't think you will have that right anymore.
I don't feel like answering this question.
But do you really think they're equivalent as far as level of disaster and level of evil and hatred and ignorance?
What?
Do you think Trump and Clinton are equal as far as how bad they are?
I don't want to find out.
What do you say to them?
Bobson, do you prefer chocolate or vanilla? Chocolate or vanilla?
Don't lead him.
Are you talking ice cream or are you... I don't understand your question
okay,
at all.
Okay, that's a good way to leave it, I think.
No, yeah. that's clear. We get the message.
Yeah,
no.
Thank you for the veiled endorsement there.
No, we know. We know.
Yeah, we know exactly where you're coming from. Thank you for that. Bobson, maybe we'll see you at a hacker event.
Send it over by email because I'd like to find out what I just...
Okay, send us your key and make sure it's 128-bit encrypted. All right. All right. Thank you very much for that. And we're pretty much out of time. Yes. I'm sorry. You know, we know that the phone calls are only in the left channel.
It flies by. It's really over, isn't it?
Well, next week at this time, it is going to be well on the way to being over. But you know that viewpoint is something I run across a lot of people who don't live here. That they're both bad. And yeah, they are both bad. But keep in mind the things we were saying earlier about what kinds of policies and people an administration will usher in.
I think it's lazy. I mean, I'm not attacking you, Bobson, or anybody who... But come on, that's not the question. It's not the question, are they both bad? The question is one or the other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's it.
And you have to make that choice. And maybe Bobson doesn't have to make that choice because he's in Bulgaria.
But
okay.
He can imagine.
Yes.
And we're asking people to imagine.
Mm-hmm. We're asking you not to imagine if you live here and if you're going to be voting next week because it's a very important decision.
Yeah, you got to do that for real.
Mm-hmm. All right. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. That is our email address. We certainly would like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your viewpoints, your ideas, your suggestions for how to deal with being intimidated and various other things like that.
I got another one. This is especially useful for hackers. It's a binary.
Uh-huh.
Are you a one or are you a zero?
Well, you know, there's all kinds of ways that that we can... deal with this situation, this issue, but
as long as we're thinking,
you know, next week is going to be a weird show because I'll be voting next week. You voted last week. You sent you voted on the air.
Yeah, that's done.
And you sent your ballot in. Next week I'll be voting in person. In 2 weeks we're going to be talking about what happened, and I don't know where we're going to go from that point.
Well, we'll talk about something else. Maybe we'll just do a non-political show because it'll be obvious that that's done. And,
wow.
And we're all terribly excited about what's next.
I look forward to that. I really do. Kyle, it's been a pleasure. We'll be back next week. Emmanuel for Off the Wall. Good night. Just a kind of losing my mind.
Hey kids, Finn's Revolution with you on WUSB Stony Brook until 9 p.m. We have the great Mai Doi Todd with us this evening. We're going to be listening to some of our music, chatting with her about her new record, the Mai Doi Todd songbook. Stay tuned for all that. It's also Radiothon 631-632-6901. Make a pledge to WUSB Stony Brook.
Hi, this is Shecky Davis from Shecky and the Twangtons. You're listening to 90.1 WUSB, the most dangerous station in the nation.
To stay all night.